800-810-7077. Catholic Radio is yours to keep and to grow.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And good morning to you. Teresa Tomeo is still taking a well-deserved rest and resting those vocal cords, but she'll be heading to Turin later on this week. In fact, she's probably on her way there right now, and we'll be keeping you up to date on how that pilgrimage is going. I'm Sherry Brownrigg. So happy to be with you today, senior partner of the Kennedy Brownrigg Group, and longtime radio host and personality. Well, not so heavy on the personality. You know, you've been listening to me for 3 days. But really happy to be here and so happy to be hosting for Teresa so she can take that break. By the way, Elena Rodriguez from EWTN will be here tomorrow and Friday. So she'll have some great shows for you. I guess she's actually opening next week as well. Look at weather across the state, partly to mostly cloudy, although a bit chilly for May 20th, don't you think? There's some freeze warnings in some parts of the state, and sometimes even in interesting parts of the state. Down in the Grand Rapids area, they've got a freeze warning for the next couple of days. Coming up on the hour, Father Robert Sirico, Sister Ann Shields will be with us, and so you know that's going to be a great hour. Today is the feast of Saint Bernardine of Siena. Always forget to get that second R in there. Do you know much about him? Well, you should. You know, he's really one of those saints that we don't think about very much. He's been on the church's calendar for many, many centuries. But he's a great example of someone who just kept persevering despite sickness and opposition. He was born in the late 14th century, and his parents died when he was very young, and so he was raised by some wonderful aunts who were very holy and really made a big mark on St. Bernardine. But he entered the Franciscan Friars Minor at a young age. This was right after the time of the Black Plague, about 20 years afterwards, and an outbreak resurfaced in Siena. And Saint Bernardine and several companions ended up keeping the hospital there open. And he was very young at this time, maybe about 20, in fact. And Saint Bernardine served so beautifully that he ended up spending himself. And his health never really recovered. He was sick most of the rest of his life. And Italy, as a country at that time, was really a bit of a mess. There was lots of wealth, a lot of sin taking place. And St. Bernardine committed to evangelizing in its cities through his preaching, and he was so good at this. He was such an excellent preacher that one person said that he was really like a modern day, for that time, of course, a modern day St. Paul. And he would simply just convert people very, very quickly by his preaching. In fact, he was so successful that in some areas the people would start bonfires and they would kind of roll up there with their carts and have all their, what they called vanities at the time, their riches. And they would throw their riches onto the bonfire to burn because they just wanted to rid themselves of it after listening to St. Bernardine preach. And he also promoted peace, and he helped various warring factions achieve peace, which was a great achievement for him. Unfortunately, you know, when you're so successful, we've seen this throughout the ages and certainly see it today, he also had enemies who really resented his success. And he was devoted to the holy name of Jesus, and he would preach with these, I guess you would call them placards, you know, maybe not necessarily icons, but he would post these placards around where he was speaking and devoting themselves to the holy name of Jesus. And so he was accused of idolatry because of that, and spreading that that particular devotion of idolatry. He was brought before Pope Martin V, who put him on trial. And during the trial, the Pope could see that that heresy charge was really without merit, and he asked St. Bernardine himself to preach in Rome. Well, then his detractors also complained to Pope Eugene IV, but that Pope declared the saint blameless, so he went before two popes, basically at the request of his detractors, and was really acquitted of any of those charges. Well, St. Bernardine spent the rest of his life preaching throughout Italy, and he went on a trip to Naples. And, you know, traditionally you would walk on a trip like that. But he was just simply too sick, too weak to walk, and so he took the trip on a donkey. And it left him so weak that he actually died there. But he was so popular that during his lifetime, the Franciscan Friars Minor grew from about 800 men when he entered to 4,000 by the time of his death. So that's the story of St. Bernardine, and really, I think, a saint for us to emulate. You know, if you're the head of a household, if you've got a family, that's not necessarily what you're going to do, but it is that, yes, every day that certainly St. Bernardine gave to the Lord in his particular vocation, in his state in life, that really, I think, made him that beautiful, beautiful saint. And so I guess today we kind of look at how are our lives shaping up? How is the Lord asking us to say yes to him today? And can we say yes if you're like me? I'm not so good at that. Sometimes I think, Lord, I'm too busy doing this other thing that I planned to say yes to you. And it's a good day for us to sort of remember that when we celebrate the feast of St. Bernardine of Siena. And St. Bernardine of Siena, pray for us. Well, it's about 5 minutes past the hour and a time to take a look at news. Folks in parts of Texas are picking up the pieces today after tornadoes roared through on Tuesday. Steve Loomis tells Fox News he was staying at a hotel near the town of Giddings yesterday when the weather took a turn for the worse.
Next thing I know, I see them start peeling off the roof and the boards are just flying through the air. And that's when we knew we had to get inside.
Authorities are also assessing the damage after a twister hit downtown Mineral Wells yesterday, knocking down power lines and causing at least one building to collapse. It also hit police headquarters but only caused minor damage. Several buildings and homes were knocked down in Runaway Bay when a separate tornado struck there. ExxonMobil and emergency crews are working to corral an oil spill that has left a miles-long sheen along the Santa Barbara County, California coastline. U.S. Coast Guard officials say a ruptured pipeline near Refugio State Beach is to blame for the spill. Aerial video shows about a four-mile-long sheen of oil reaching out about 50 yards into the ocean. Coast Guard officials haven't been able to say exactly how much oil has spilled into the ocean. The fall of the largest city in western Iraq isn't sitting well with those who served in the Iraq War or their loved ones. Debbie Lee lost her son in Ramadi and tells Fox News the U.S. should feel an obligation to do more.
There's things we could be doing differently there. There's tactics that could be employed that we could make a difference over there. And now they're only emblazoned to go further and go into Baghdad and take that area as well.
One person who definitely agrees is GOP House Speaker John Boehner. Speaking on Tuesday, he claimed President Obama's ISIS strategy is not working. In a Capitol briefing, Boehner noted the fall of Ramadi and said the president must revise the strategy for defeating ISIS in Iraq and Syria. He said, quote, "Hope is not a strategy." The president's current strategy includes U.S.-led airstrikes and American military advisors who are working with Iraqi security forces. 10 people are being detained in Canada after allegedly trying to join ISIS. Canadian police said in a statement yesterday that none of the suspects have been charged, but investigations are ongoing. All 10 youths had their passports confiscated after they were detained at Montreal's Trudeau International Airport over the weekend. Police said they cannot disclose any information about the young suspects, and their families have been informed. North Korea says it has the ability to make nuclear weapons small enough to fit on a missile. National correspondent Joe Gomez reports.
The statement from the North Korean military also says they can guarantee the accuracy of long-range rocket launches. CNN says North Korea's claims have been confirmed recently by senior U.S. military officials. In October, the commander of U.S. forces in Korea warned that North Korea could miniaturize a nuclear device. Last month, the commander of the North American Aerospace Defense Command warned that North Korea could put a nuclear weapon on a missile and shoot it at the U.S. I'm Joe Gomez.
The State Department says it will comply with a federal judge's order regarding Hillary Clinton's emails when she was Secretary of State.
It's a large volume of documents, 55,000 pages. It requires coordination with, in some cases, with other agencies. It covers basically the entire span of Secretary Clinton's time at the department.
Spokesman Jeff Rathke said the State Department takes legal obligations rather seriously. On Tuesday, the judge ordered the State Department to come up with a schedule for their release by next week. Around the same time, Clinton told reporters in Iowa that she wants to see her emails released as soon as possible. And finally, it's Better Hearing and Speech Month around the U.S., and the Seattle area is observing it. A survey from the American Speech Language Hearing Association found that technology is getting some teenagers into early hearing trouble. Ann Euler is an associate director with the group.
6.5 million teenagers are showing the early signs of high-frequency loss. The number one device that they use and that they think might be the cause of this is the personal music device and earphones.
She also says these devices can hurt speech and language development in younger kids. Euler says parents need to monitor this more closely. And good that they're bringing this to the attention of all of us, because I know so many of us and our kids are using MP3 players, you know, things that attach right into those earphones. And being somebody who's been in radio for many years, I have hearing loss due to headphone usage. And lifelong loud music, loud talk in my ears, so that definitely is real, that threat. Coming up on the show this hour, we've got Father Robert Sirico. He's president of the Acton Institute and pastor of Sacred Heart of Jesus Parish in Grand Rapids, which has a great new academy that has started up, going to be offering high school soon. And Sean Maltby, the headmaster of Sacred Heart Academy, will be joining him. Later on in the hour, Sister Ann Shields, host of Ave Maria Radio's Food for the Journey. We're going to be talking about a terrific event that she'll be speaking at in Steubenville. That is all coming up this hour right here on Catholic Connection, brought to you by Ave Maria Radio Network. I'm Sherry Brownrigg. Stay with us.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Are you wondering how an annuity might fit into your overall retirement plan? Annuities are not always what they seem, and there's always some sort of cost. I'm Reno Frazetta, and if you'd like to understand the advantages and the disadvantages of annuities so that you can make an informed decision that's in your own best interest, then get my article titled Retirement Planning with Annuities. Call 888-255-1831, that's 888-255-1831, or visit securemyfunds.com.
The weather is getting warmer, the days are getting longer, and the deals are hot. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And during our Drive and Discover event, you can experience and feel the quality in our new 2015 Jeeps, cars, SUVs, and minivans, many of which get up to 30 or 40 miles per gallon. So don't miss our Drive and Discover event going on now. Come in today or visit us online only at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Have a First Communion or a confirmation coming up in your family or circle of friends? Our Lady of Grace bookstore has a beautiful selection of gifts to help them celebrate these special sacraments and strengthen their life in Christ. And don't forget the graduates on your list. Choose from inspirational books, videos, jewelry, and a new selection of contemporary Christian music CDs. We're located in Ann Arbor at US 23 and M14, inside Domino's Farms Office Park at Lobby C. Visit us at OurLadyOfGraceBookstore.com or Facebook for hours and directions.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, except I'm not Teresa. I'm Sherry Brownrigg, hosting another day, and Elena Rodriguez will be in Thursday and Friday. Teresa's still resting those vocal cords, and that rest kind of butted right up against a pilgrimage that she is taking with Steve Ray in Italy, and she's on her way to Turin right now, and we'll keep you up to date on the great things that are happening with Teresa and that pilgrimage. Right now, though, we've got Father Robert Sirico. He's president of the Acton Institute, of course, in Grand Rapids, and pastor of Sacred Heart of Jesus Parish in Grand Rapids, which has a terrific academy, Sacred Heart Academy, attached to it. And Sean Maltby, the headmaster of Sacred Heart Academy, is joining us as well. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to the program.
great to be with you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Sean. Good morning, Father Sirico. You know, been on your website, and of course, the three of us have talked about Sacred Heart Academy before, which is always a delight because it's a very special school. The first thing that you advertise on the Sacred Heart Academy website, which is sacredheartacademygr.org, is basically that it's a classical education. What is that?
You want me to take that, Father?
Yes, please do.
Well, a classical education, and just because we use the word classical doesn't mean that it's old. And you know, classical education means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. What it means for us is an education centered on the truth that the incarnation, God becoming man, to allow us to return to God and to allow us to be redeemed as a race, is the central hinge of history, and that everything before the incarnation was pointing towards it, whether they knew it or not, and everything that has happened since the incarnation has been informed by it. So that's what it means for Sacred Heart Academy when we talk about a classical education. And so we start really our history and our literature courses, even from the very beginning of the school, are integrated in a way that these truths inform one another. And so we study ancient Greece and ancient Rome because, you know, that is the civilization at which God entered. The intellectual culture and the government of the world at that point was centered in ancient Greece and ancient Rome, and that's where we begin, and then it goes from there.
I think the word integration is an important part of the approach, rather than just seeing the children as receptacles of bits of data. What we're trying to form, and that's another good word, formation, form in them is a comprehensive understanding of life and all of the bits and pieces that make up life, but that the bits and pieces can't be broken down and separated from one another, so that if a child is learning, art, it's art in the context of who human beings are, and art in the context of how literature reflects on art, or what art does to the whole of the human person. Or geography, you know, what's the history, what the language is, what's the monetary currency of the time. All of these things kind of integrated so that almost everything becomes a part of the formation process or the educational process. The other important thing, though, when we began this, of course, it is a typical Catholic school, you know, like most Catholic schools today. Which, by the way, are under great stress and failing in many circumstances. The first thing we decided to do was have Mass every day. So the children attend daily Mass, and then from that time of reflection on the sacrifice of our Lord, their day begins.
Wow. Well, it sounds like a wonderful education, and I loved what you said, Father Sirico, about that the students are not just these, you know, the bits of data that they try to memorize and then try to somehow put that together by themselves, that it really is the integration. And I guess a question I have is, how does that kind of integration, which is so unique, prepare students for really launching into the rest of their life?
Well, I think, Sherry, one of the I've seen this already of the kids identifying that everything is connected. There was a fifth grade student who was sitting in history class, and this was about halfway through the school year, all of a sudden made the comment, "Hey, this is exactly what we've been studying in literature, and it's almost like you guys got together and planned this on purpose." but it's the recognition then that, and you see, so the light bulb goes off. I mean, we don't tell the students, "Hey, you're in an integrated, curriculum where what we're going to talk about in religion, or what we're going to talk about in history, or what we're going to talk about in literature, all are going to happen to be related to one another." No, that's not how we approach it. We allow them to discover truth, but presenting it in a way that you know, allows them to make those connections for themselves, to see that everything is connected. And so when you start discovering truths, you discover that those truths all point to one truth, and that is a person.
It prepares them well for, you know, the work that they will do, the vocations that they will pursue, because they are in a situation where they're expected to think things through, not just respond with a fact here and there, but to actually think things through. We see it oftentimes on television, let's say a politician is being asked questions, and you can almost tell they've memorized certain talking points. And when you derail them from the talking points, it's almost, I've seen it happen, where they can't even think about what they're answering. They're just going back to the talking points. What we want to make sure is that our students can think a thing through so that they can draw upon the breadth of knowledge that they have and orient themselves. Well, what's the truth in this situation? How do I reason? How do I understand? And how do I express that? That's rhetoric. How do I express that to this person or this audience in an intelligible way? Imagine children formed for 12 years in that kind of culture, having appropriated those kinds of habits. When they come to college, they're much better prepared than somebody who just has a bunch of data in different folders that they can draw on or not draw on.
Well, and I hate to be fatalistic, but in the world where it's going now, that kind of a leader who has those critical thinking skills, we're going to need them in the future.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. You know, we're forming them with a sense of mission, that they have a sacred calling to fulfill. They may not know the whole thing right now, but at some point God will ask them to step into that vocation, and they have to be prepared to take that responsibility on and understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's not just the facts. It's the meaning behind the facts.
Yeah.
And that's what satisfies the human heart.
We're talking with Father Robert Sirico, who is pastor of Sacred Heart of Jesus Parish in Grand Rapids, and of course president of the Acton Institute, and Headmaster Sean Maltby is with us as well of Sacred Heart Academy, talking about the academy, which is just getting ready to start the high school portion of its curriculum there. Now, Sacred Heart Academy has been around for about a century. Why launch a high school now?
Well, Sherry, that's a great question, because and we are very unique in that regard. Most you'd be hard pressed to find what traditionally has been a parish school and is a parish school and remain a parish school actually having a secondary school associated with it. But what Father was touching on, the rhetoric stage and learning how to, or the students knowing how to take what they've learned and then express it, that the rhetoric, where we teach those skills of rhetoric, is really at the high school ages. And so when you talk about a classical model, many times if you look up classical, there'll be some reference to the trivium, which is this Latin for the three ways. And the trivium includes grammar, logic, and rhetoric. And rhetoric being this final stage where you've taken everything that you've learned, you understand why those things are, you know the meaning behind them, and then, as Father said, you know how to then, in the rhetoric stage, you really learn how to express those things to others. And so the high school becomes a key element, because once we've prepared them to understand what things are and why they are, you almost do them a disservice by then not allowing them to take those things and really own them and express them for themselves. And so the high school curriculum is really, really centered on that philosophy. And so it's critical to have it available. Otherwise, there's no other place that would be doing it. Our other high schools, whether they be parochial high schools or public high schools, aren't teaching students those skills.
I understand this is the first high school in many, many years that has been started in Michigan. Is that right?
That's our understanding. We know in the Grand Rapids Diocese, as far as a Catholic high school goes, it's the first in over 50 years.
Wow.
And I think it's important to say that we see ourselves as complementary to the other Catholic high schools that exist, who also form people in the Catholic faith. It is this way of learning that makes us distinctive. So mm-hmm. I think the bishop is very wise in offering families a number of different options as to how they would go about ensuring the education and formation of their children. After all, it's the parents who are the first responsibles for the education and formation of their children.
Sean, how is the high school going to roll itself out?
Well, we've announced it. We actually have all of our faculty hired. We have a few students enrolled already. We do have some room for some more, and we're actually going to have an information night here at the school next Tuesday at 7 p.m., where all the new faculty, even the ones that aren't actually here in town yet, will be here, and everybody will get to meet them. But also we'll discuss exactly what it is that we're doing and why it matters and why it will benefit their children if they choose to participate.
How has the Sacred Heart Academy been received there in the Diocese of Grand Rapids?
Well, I suppose there are a number of ways of measuring that. The most obvious and, of course, critical is the number of students. We went 2 years ago from having, I don't remember, Sean, was it 60?
62, I think.
Was 62 students. Right. It had kind of gotten down to that. Next year is projected to be between 220 and 200. We'd like to hit, is it 250, something like this?
250, where we'd like to be, yes, Father.
Where we'd like to be, and so if you judge by that, it's been very well received. I know that of five or six families who actually moved into the diocese in order for their children to attend the academy. In terms of the diocese itself, that is the bishop and his superintendent of Catholic schools, we've had a very warm reception. You can imagine this whole thing is a new way of thinking, you know, for our diocese. And they asked questions that drill down into, you know, assuring themselves that we had really thought this through. We didn't start out with the idea of a high school. It just kind of emerged from the experience of teaching the children and the families. And they both took those questions seriously, met with us repeatedly, walked through it, and then finally gave the permission for us to proceed. And they've been very supportive.
That's so good to hear. Very good to hear. And Father Sirico, you are the pastor there at
Yes.
Sacred Heart of Jesus Parish, and the academy is attached there. How do the parish and the academy, how do they work together and support one another?
Well, it's one ministry, and that's one of the important things that we want to make clear to the parishioners and to the academy, that the academy is our largest apostolate in terms of the amount of staff and money that we put into it. And it's seen as an arm of the catechetic work of the parish as a whole, so that the teachers have been told and will be told again and urged and given the requisite training to see themselves as evangelists. They are presenting the gospel in one way or another and through the lens of many disciplines to their children and to their families, so that our not just the academic portion but the recreational portion of the curriculum, concerts and plays and things like that, all have some dimension of that. And this reinforces the parish as a whole, because, you know, you come, that's not to say that everybody in the school is a part of our parish, but when we do have things that are in tandem, families are there. You come to our masses, and it's really wonderful to see these children. And we have a large girls group, many of whom are in the academy. Some are not. We have a boys group. We have a core of altar boys who, you know, really formed in a very classical understanding of the liturgy. We also have Mass once a week in the school year for the kids in Latin, so that they're using the language that they're learning. You have to say, as a priest, I've said this repeatedly, I'm the luckiest guy in the world to be working in this parish, because, I mean, if you're really a priest and you want to be a priest, this is the place to exercise your priestly ministry.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. Yes, what he said, right? Yeah. Well, Sean Maltby, the headmaster of Sacred Heart Academy, and Father Robert Sirico, the pastor of Sacred Heart of Jesus Parish in Grand Rapids and president of the Acton Institute. Time goes quickly and time is up, but we wish you well. We'll be praying for the success of Sacred Heart Academy, and thanks for being with us on Catholic Connection.
Thank you so much. Sean, give the website address just one more time before we go.
SacredHeartAcademyGR.org.
And also, Sean, maybe you can repeat the day and time and the place of the meeting that's coming up.
It will be at the Academy. It's 1200 Dayton Southwest to Grand Rapids. That'll be Tuesday, May 26th at 7 p.m. for the information night for the high school.
Got it. Thank you so much for being with us.
God bless.
God bless, Sherry. Thank you.
It's Father Robert Sirico and Sean Maltby talking about Sacred Heart Academy in Grand Rapids. Beautiful, beautiful school. Coming up next, we've got Sister Ann Shields, and she's host of Ave Maria Radio's Food for the Journey, getting her fresh from Mass this morning, so she will be on fire and igniting your spirit. So stay with us. There's more to come here on Catholic Connection.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. Are you a beacon of faith or a bunker? Pope Francis often reminds us to let Jesus out, to get out of our bunker modes of church and take Christ to the rest of the world. In Matthew chapter 18, Christ commands us to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. This gospel passage makes it clear that we are to take our good message, all our good stuff, outside of our churches and ourselves to the world at large. And all the activities of the mystical body of Christ should be ordered to mission. In short, we are called to be beacons of Christ's love and meet the world where it lives. And do not fear, you have everything you need to carry Christ to the world by virtue of your baptism and confirmation. You are equipped, and when you surrender to Him, He will work through you. So, the question remains, are you a beacon or a bunker?
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Dunha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in the community. You can subscribe or advertise today. Contact us at www.chaldeannews.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part by our day sponsor. To celebrate the graduations of Dr. Patrick Atisha, M.D., Dr. Andrew Atisha, D.D.S., and Marco Atisha, two brothers and a sister who graduated today. May God bestow His blessings on these three young people. If you want to be a day sponsor and or want to say a message for a loved one or friend, call 877-288-1077.
The faculty and staff of Father Gabriel Richard High School extends their congratulations to the class of 2015. It was an honor and privilege to serve you, teach you, and to learn from you. As you move on, remember these words of Pope Francis. Put on Christ in your life, and you will find a friend in whom you can always trust. Put on Christ, and you will see the wings of hope spreading and letting you journey with joy towards the future.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. Each week we go into the Ave Maria CD library. We pull on a talk or two to see what our Lord might have to say to us. Most of these talks are recorded at area gatherings and conferences. Most of the speakers are nationally known. The topics are varied, but they are all centered on the Lord, and they all are worth your listening time. You're back for Mass. It's not yet dinner time. Why not sit back and join us? Be fed on the Lord. Listen this and every Sunday afternoon at 3 for Putting on the Mind of Christ on 990 WDEO in the Metro Detroit area and 1440 WMAX in the Saginaw Valley. Putting on the Mind of Christ is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Stand up and defend life while celebrating 31 years of saving moms and babies from abortion. Mother and Unborn Baby Care is having their annual spring dinner at the San Marino Club in Troy, May 28th. The keynote speaker is former director of NARAL and a former member of the U.S. House of Representatives, Rebecca Hamilton. She's now a converted Catholic and pro-life. Call for tickets 248-286-1036. That's 248-286-1036. Join us because life is worth celebrating.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. I'm Sherry Brownrigg in for Teresa Tomeo, 25 minutes before the hour. And I hope your morning is starting just great. Hey, coming up next hour, got a great show for you on our national hour. Deacon James Keating from the Institute for Priestly Formation will be with us to talk about the diaconate. And we'll be checking in with Joan Lewis live from Rome, and she is on the go today, so that's going to be an interesting conversation. Right now, though, we've got Sister Ann Shields, host of Ave Maria Radio's Food for the Journey, in the studio with us. Good morning, Sister Ann.
Good morning, Sherry. How are you?
Well, I am well, and I promoted the fact that you were coming straight from Mass, so you were going to ignite the spirit of all of our listeners.
Oh, my. Well, if God wants to do that, God can certainly do that. Blessed be his name.
Oh, blessed be his name now and forever. Well, I always love your stories of simply saying, you know, the Lord, I really want to relax right now, and maybe I can do a little reading, and he puts someone right next to you, whether it's on a plane
exactly.
Or somewhere in the...
All the time.
All the time. Just
all
because
time.
He knows that you'll say yes.
Yes. Well, I try.
You try. Good model for all of us. And you're speaking at a conference coming up June 5th through the 7th at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and the conference, Power and Purpose, Strengthening Disciples for Life in the Holy Spirit.
And don't we need that today, Sherry?
Boy,
we need to know that we're called to be disciples. We're not just bodies in the pews every Sunday. We are called to be disciples. That means that we are close, intimate followers of Jesus Christ. And my question to all Catholics today is, are we there yet? Are we really, honestly living as disciples? Or are we simply, checking off, yes, I go to Mass every week, yes, I go to confession sometimes, every once in a while I go to adoration, but I don't have time to do more than that. Well, if you honestly don't have time to do more than that, my question is, how are you doing it? In what spirit are you doing it? Are you doing it just to check off the list that I've done what I'm obligated to do? Or has God touched my heart and changed me so that I really want to follow him? I desire to be where he is. I want to hear his every word. I want to follow him. I want to do what he wants me to do, why he created me. There's a big difference between simply, as I hear many people say, well, I attend Mass. Well, we might attend it in body, but the question is, where's our heart? Where's our mind? Where's our spirit during that time? So I think this conference is going to enlighten the purpose of our lives and the power to live it out.
Wow. How does the conference, how will it prepare us to be disciples and really living that life in the Holy Spirit?
Well, there are a number of talks. I'll say something about them. The general session talks, Father Michael Gately, who I think we all know, Father Michael Gately will be speaking on discerning with the Spirit. Now is the time for mercy. And I will be speaking on Saturday morning on discipleship and the call of the Holy Spirit to those who will listen. And Paul George is going to speak on Overshadowed by the Power of the Most High. And Deacon Harold Burke Sievers, An Apocalyptic Awakening, the Message of the Blessed Virgin Mary for Our World. So those are the four main session talks. But then there are many, Sherry, many workshops that are available. Bishop McPherson, who comes from Jamaica, will be speaking on Mary, Full of Grace, Temple of the Holy Spirit. I could go down a whole list here. Father Sean Robertson, Father Dave Pavanka, who are both Third Order regular Franciscans from the University of Steubenville. Father Michael Gately, again, will be speaking on Marian consecration. And I will be speaking on surrendering to the will of God. It's one thing, to strengthen our own wills. But there's also the greatest strengthening of our wills is, paradoxically, the greatest strengthening of our own wills is our submission to the will of God. So I'm going to be speaking about that. There's Kelly Walquist. There's Deacon Harold Sievers again, speaking on Overshadowing, Magnificent, Glorifying God, How Mary Teaches Us to Evangelize. And Deacon Harold will be speaking on Behold Your Mother, the Marian Heart of Suffering. We're going to have a workshop on Introduction to the Life in the Holy Spirit. In other words, this is packed. There's plenty of times for confession. The Sacrament of Reconciliation will be available throughout the conference. The Mass on Sunday will be presided by the Bishop, again, of the Diocese of Montego Bay, Jamaica. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have quite a range of people. And I mention all those, not that you can remember them all, but to say there's a wide variety here. God wants to speak to everyone's heart right where you are, and empower you and show you the whole purpose of your life in a way perhaps you've never seen before.
Boy, this seems like an incredible conference. It is coming up June 5th through the 7th at Franciscan University of Steubenville, Power and Purpose, Strengthening Disciples for Life in the Holy Spirit. And looks like you can still register for it. I'm on the website right now, steubenvilleconferences.com, and you should be able to find it there and look for the adult conference Power and Purpose. Sister Ann Shields is our guest, and she is one of the speakers at this terrific conference. And we're going to take a short break here, but we'll be back to talk more about what's going to happen at the conference and why you should attend. And that's all still to come here on Catholic Connection.
Hi, I'm Reno Frazita with Secure My Funds, and I've had the pleasure of serving people here in Metro Detroit for over 20 years. And let me tell you, when it comes to money and investing, 2015 is going to look very different from the last several years. Do you have a retirement plan from your current or former employer? Here's a smart money tip. You can take control of that money now and roll it over to an IRA in your own name. An IRA that can grow safely and without market risk and provide lasting income for you and your spouse when you retire. How you position your retirement money today could have a big, big impact on your retirement income down the road. Take the right steps to protect your retirement money now. If you're not sure how, let me show you. For informative literature or a free consultation, give me a call at 888-255-1831. That's 888-255-1831, or visit securemyfunds.com.
Advisory services offered through CoreCap Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
The smell of spring is here. Flowers are blooming and trees are blossoming, and God's whole creation is singing in harmony. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and during our Drive and Discover event, you will be treated with the dignity and respect you deserve as you choose from over 8 acres of new and certified pre-owned fine automobiles. Your deal will be in perfect harmony, just like nature's best. Come in today or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Manresa Jesuit Retreat House in Bloomfield Hills wants to welcome you to the Master's Garden Saturday, May 30th. The Master's Garden offers a day to learn eco-friendly gardening tips, stroll their 39 acres, tour the house, and enjoy their speakers. There'll be entertainment, raffles, and experts available throughout the day to answer your gardening questions. For tickets and info, look for The Master's Garden on their homepage at manresasj.org.
Minutes before the top of the hour, I'm Sherry Brownrigg in for Teresa Tomeo. So happy to be with you. One last day this week. I'll be hosting 2 days at the end of next week while Teresa Tomeo takes a pilgrimage here, continuing to still rest those vocal cords. Teresa, good luck with that rest while you are on a pilgrimage, huh? And in fact, she's actually headed to Turin right now. Elena Rodriguez is going to be hosting Thursday, Friday, and Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, and we hope that you'll tune in. We've got great shows for you, lots of great things coming up. This hour, though, we've got Sister Ann Shields, and she's host of Ave Maria Radio's Food for the Journey, of course. But we're talking about a conference that she'll be speaking at on June 5th through the 7th. It's going to be held at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and it is called Power and Purpose, Strengthening Disciples for Life in the Holy Spirit. Sister Ann, who should attend this conference?
Everybody. Honestly.
Period.
Yeah. Honestly, everybody, from people at the age of being confirmed up, I would say, because this is teaching us how the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, how the Holy Spirit came upon the Blessed Mother, how the Holy Spirit dwells in the Blessed Mother, and how that gift of the Holy Spirit is given to each one of us. Every one of us. You know, some people, I hear people say, well, that's for saints. That's not me. But every one of us is called to be holy. And it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us and strengthens us and gives us the grace to enable us to do that. But we do have a free will, and we can say no. And I pray during this time of the new evangelization, I pray in these few days before the great feast of Pentecost this year, I'm praying that hearts will be touched that have never been touched before. Because, Sherry, our world is getting more and more confused, more and more we're turning away from God, more and more we're trying to find our own answers to things that only God can give us. And my prayer is that we will turn around. That is, that we'll be, each of us, be more deeply converted and be able to follow Him. So if people want to register for this conference, you still can. Sherry, can you give them the website? I don't have it here in front of me.
Absolutely. I've got the website and a number that they can call. But the website is actually steubenvilleconferences.com. And if you want to get very specific, you can find it from there if you just click to conferences. But the list of conferences, it's the Power and Purpose Conference.
That's right.
But you can also do /adult/Power and Purpose. There's also an 800 number you can call for more information, and that is 1-800-437-8368. 800-437-8368. And as Sister Ann says, everybody should really consider going to this conference.
Yes, it's you know, Sherry, I was at the second Steubenville conference, the second one that ever was, back in the mid-1970s. And I, over the years, have been so blessed by these conferences. And to see them continuing and flourishing and taking new ground, so to speak, is very inspiring for me. So it's an honor for me to be able to attend this conference and participate in it. I also want to mention, if you've not been to this conference before, any of these conferences at Steubenville, there will be marvelous, marvelous times for adoration and worship. And the Sacrament of Reconciliation. There'll be Mass every day that I believe will lift you up closer to God, to see what's possible, to see what God wants to do with each of us in our own personal lives and then in the way we reach out to others.
You know, Sister Ann, I have not been to an adult conference at Steubenville, but I've been an adult leader on a youth conference. And, of course, we all know if you've ever had a youth who's been to one, a son or a daughter, or you've been there yourself, they're life-changing.
Yes, they are.
And is that the same kind of experience, a life-changing experience, that many people would receive from this kind of a conference?
Yes, they would. Yes, they would. Because the Holy Spirit, we call, really ask the Holy Spirit to come and to touch our lives and to change us. And when you're surrounded, it's helpful. And it's not just a crowd mentality. There's really something very special that happens when we all call upon the Holy Spirit to touch our lives, to bring us to the repentance that's needed so that the Holy Spirit really can dwell within us fully. There's just something miraculous. Honestly, I probably shouldn't use that word exactly, but in a certain way it is miraculous what we experience there of lives that are changed, and not just changed because they had some kind of emotional experience. People often say that, oh, well, that's just emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But people's lives really change. And I've seen it over the years. I've seen it after 10 and 20 and 30 years that the grace they received there has really borne abundant fruit. So I want everybody who listens to Food for the Journey and everybody who listens to Teresa's program to try to make one of the conferences. There are a whole lot of them listed over the course of the summer, but this one is called Power and Purpose.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you think about it, Sister Ann, you know, you're spending a weekend really devoted to opening yourself up to that role of discipleship and opening yourself up to the Holy Spirit. I think it would be difficult to not have a changed life after spending a weekend focused in that direction.
That's right, because of the power of God, not because of us.
Right.
Because we get distracted or we get thrown by something that hits us when we get back home. But the Holy Spirit, whom we've invited into our hearts, really does lead us into holiness, lead us into greater goodness, and show us the power that has been given to us and the purpose for our lives at a whole new level. So, again, I really want to encourage you, if you haven't been to one and you can do it, I know it's close, it's just a couple weeks out, but I really encourage you to consider coming to this conference.
It's going to be held June 5th through the 7th at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and Sister Ann Shields, our guest, is one of the main speakers there. And this year's theme, Sister Ann, because this is, I think, an annual conference, is Full of Grace, Full of Life.
That's right. And that's why the Blessed Mother is so featured, to see our mother who is full of grace. How did that come about in her life? How did she respond to God? And asking her for help in our own surrender of our lives to God.
Mm.
So the Blessed Mother becomes our mother many, many times at this conference in showing us the way and pointing the way to Jesus.
Mm. As she does always, always, always.
Yes, that's right, Sherry.
Yeah.
She does. As I said before earlier, there are so many different workshops that you're going to be able to find. There'll be four main talks on the weekend, but there are also something like 8 or 9 different workshops that you can go to. And that's always fun if, as a family or as a group of people come, make sure you spread yourselves out to different workshops so you can all share the fruit when you come back together. But there's one on Mary as Temple of the Holy Spirit by the bishop from Jamaica. There's one on Mary, Blessing for Our Time, from Father Sean Robertson, who is a Franciscan priest at Steubenville. Hidden Gifts, Clandestine Cultivation. That's certainly going to be quite a workshop by Kelly Walquist. And then Introduction to Life in the Spirit, by a couple of men from Franciscan University, John Bellew and a very good friend of mine, Mark Nierbos. There's a workshop by Father Dave Pavanka, again a Franciscan priest, on practical advice for releasing God's grace through prayer. That's a very should be a very good one. He's a marvelous speaker. Father Michael Gately speaking on Marian consecration and its impact on the church today. Again, I'm going to be speaking on surrendering to the will of God. I think, at least for me, that was the hardest thing, was letting go and surrendering to God. But it radically, radically changed my life. And finally, Deacon Harold Sievers is going to speak on Behold Your Mother, the Marian Heart of Suffering. So there'll be lots of opportunities to grow in those areas that you feel you especially need to grow in. But all of it is to give us the power to clarify and to strengthen our purpose so that we can go back into an ever-darkening society and bring the light of Jesus Christ.
Sister Anne, this is a big question for so short a time that we have left, but what should be our plan for living out this discipleship when we leave that conference?
Well, the first thing is that we need daily contact with God, daily. And that means, and this is one of the hardest things for a lot of people, setting up a regular time for prayer. Every day we need to spend time in the Word of God. We need to frequent Eucharistic adoration when that's possible and as often as possible. Pope John Paul said when you sit before the Blessed Sacrament, he said it's like radiation therapy. And a lot of us need radiation therapy. We need those things in our lives burned away that we might really see and know and love the God who created us and the God who saved us. So I would say, Sherry, establishing a daily time of prayer. Could be 15 minutes, but a daily time of prayer. Celebration of the liturgy when you can. Eucharistic adoration. Being before the Lord in those ways, His grace will flow through you. And
Sister Anne Shields, thank you so much. And speaking at the conference Power and Purpose, June 5th through the 7th at Franciscan University, you can register at conferences at franciscan.edu. We've got more to come, so stay with us right here on Catholic Connection.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Light of the East, weekend on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, our joy in the glorious feast of the descent of the Holy Spirit is yet tinged with a bit of sadness to see the conclusion of the Paschal season. Nonetheless, the Spirit still breathes life into the Church.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
Everyone loves Charlie Brown, Lucy, Linus, and Snoopy. You'll have a chance to enjoy a local musical production of the Broadway show based on the characters created by Charles Schulz. Join the Peanuts gang as they declare, "You're a good man, Charlie Brown," to discovering what really brings them happiness. It's guaranteed to please audiences of all ages. Explorers Homeschool.